From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be across this great globe of ours, all 25 time zones, whatever it is, prolifically covered by this program, Ghost to Ghost AM. Good morning. I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie on this evening, this ghostly evening. And we're going to do something a little different this year. We're going to do unscreened ghost-to-ghost calls. Now, there will be certain rules, and I hope you will try and abide by them. Rule number one is only one ghost story per caller. I repeat, one ghost story per caller. Number two, please try and use anything but a cell phone. I like cell phones. I've got one. They're useful in cases of emergency, but they're terrible for talk radio. Now, if you have a ghost story that is just so good that we all have to hear it, and you can only use a cell phone, well, then so be it. But it better be awfully good to suffer over the indignities of a cell phone connection. And of course, please, only the very scariest stories. And I mean the scariest stories. I'll give you an example here in a moment. As a matter of fact, actually, I'll kind of pepper examples throughout the program. These were sent to me in the last several days, and I picked a few choice ones, and I'll sort of drop them in. But once again, this is an annual event. We only get to do it one day during the year. That is to say, when we have nothing but ghost stories. Now, I would prefer they be first-person ghost stories, if possible. In other words, not something that your mom was told by your grandma, and so forth and so on. So, if it's a first-person ghost story, it's better. If it's not on a cell phone, it's great. Remembering only one story per customer. And, oh, by the way, we took a Bell family Halloween photo. It's up on the website, right in the upper middle. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, you'll see it. We had fun doing that, the three of us. By the way, for those who are inquiring, all cats are fine. All our cats are just fine. Yeti, Abby, and our import, Dolly, doing very, very well indeed. So a picture of the three of us, myself, Aaron, and of course Asia. That's on the website. And then if you click on the a webcam, there's a picture of just Asia there that I took the other day. I think it's really, really cute. But once again, this is ghost to ghost, folks. So let me run over it one last time. One story per caller. One ghost story, your very best effort. If you can do it on a landline instead of a cell phone, well, bless you. Remembering you've got to let it, we're not going to use screeners. So that means let it ring and ring and ring and ring. And that way you'll not be charged for any on-hold time or anything of that sort. We'll pick it up when we're ready to talk to you. And only the very scariest stories. I think this program has established over decades now, that there is indeed some sort of consciousness, some sort of continuation after death. Now, the nature of that continuation, we have not established. But with EVPs, with other proof, we've established pretty well, I think, that indeed there is some continuation following physical death. Ghosts would be certainly one main line piece of proof of that continuation. So if you have a good ghost story, here we are. Now, if you're west of the Rockies, the number to call is 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. Remember, I will answer the phone, so it is up to you to have your radio turned all the way down right away as soon as you hear me answer. First-time callers, area code 818. 501-4721. Area code 818-501-4721. Wildcard lines, we've got several of those. Pretty good chance to get through at area code 818-501-4109. 818-501-4109. Outside the country, the international line, call up your operator. Have her connect you, no matter where you are in the world, to our toll-free international line, which is 1-800-893-0903. 1-800-893-0903. In a moment, Ghost to Ghost AM. Let's begin with something Kathy sent in from Springfield, Illinois. Art, let me preface this by saying my grandfather and I had always been very close. I know he would never have let any harm come to me in any way. My grandfather passed away in February of 1978. He had a heart attack in the bathroom of his home at about 3 a.m. My grandmother was home alone. We took turns staying with her after the funeral. About 3 weeks later, I was reading on the bed in the spare bedroom. Something caused me to look up. Coming out of the wall was what looked like my grandfather. He was transparent. You could see right through him, but he still had form. Words can never express how horrible he looked. He looked like he had dug his own way out of the grave. He had on a pinstripe suit, the one he was buried in. He had what appeared to be Spanish moss dripping from him. I live in Springfield, Illinois. Believe me, we don't have Spanish moss around here. I began to scream and get off the bed to run when he suddenly disappeared. Now, I didn't tell anybody because I was afraid people think I was crazy. This would be the end of the story, but 20 years ago, I found out my son had seen the same identical apparition. As close as we can estimate it, it was about 3 months later, and in the front bedroom of our house, other family members have seen dark forms standing over the bathroom sink doors and lights that turn on and off, and all this for no apparent reason. We're now 58 and 40, respectively, and we'll never forget the sight. Was it a ghost? A demon? I'll never know, but I know we saw it, I believe. And, of course, that's what happens after you see for yourself. You believe. Let's go to the first-time caller line and say good morning. You have arrived at Ghost to Ghost as number one.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Thank you.
I am so glad to talk to you. I racked my brain for a ghost story, and I couldn't think of it. What I really want to ask you...
Oh, no, this is ghost stories only, dear. If you don't have a ghost story, you shouldn't be calling.
I know, but I wanted to ask your AOL.com so I could get a picture of you and your family.
All right. Well, there's a picture of our family on the website right now, and that would be coasttocoastam.com. Now, you see, the very first call was a violation of the rules. Ghost stories only. Ghost stories only. Now, I'm trusting in you tonight because this is all unscreened. I'm just putting you on the air. Now, if something is said that shouldn't go on the air, I can certainly eliminate it, but this is unscreened. That means it's the honor system. So, ghost stories only. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Raul.
Yes, sir.
I'm from Tacoma, Washington.
All right.
I'm going to just tell you a real quick story. Probably about, I'd say it's about 20 years ago, I was living with this friend of mine in this duplex. And just out of the blue, all of a sudden, I started getting all these scratches on my like soft parts of my body, like underneath my legs where my calves are.
Big wide scratches or like cat scratches or?
It looked like there was at least always four like rakes. It looked like I was getting raked on my back by, you know, my friends would joke and laugh. Hey, what did your girlfriend, you know, making jokes
that.
And I was saying, hey. You know, I don't know what I'm getting here, you know. And then my dad, being in the medical field, he says, well, it's probably just some, you know, psoriasis or something like that. And I was thinking, well, I don't, you know. And then I caught my, made me think more about it, I saw like this show with like Spock on it. It was kind of like, that's what was, the only thing back in the 80s, you know, that was like about paranormal stuff.
Were these like human scratches? I mean, like nails, human nails or
what? Yeah, it was like nail scratches, just like, and then they would almost pop up almost to the point where it would almost, blood would you know, but then they would go away.
Did you ever feel it when it happened?
Just very, very, very vaguely. Very, very vaguely.
Was this occurring when you were asleep, or?
It could just occur at any time. We could just be sitting there at that time, you know, in the early 80s, we were sitting there watching some MTV or something, just sitting around hanging out, and all of a sudden I'd just say, hey, look, guys, and I'd pull down my shirt, and then right
there
behind my neck is these rake marks, you know, and then it caught my, like I say, that show, you know, was that narrator, and they showed this same similar incident to this guy that was just in, like, Boston, and you know, just, you know.
So how did it resolve? Did it just go away, or what?
Finally, when we moved from that duplex, it just went away. And then finally, as years went on, people would say, yeah, you were a victim of, a stigmata, and I didn't even know what that was.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I didn't know about all this stuff, and so I started listening to your show.
Uh-huh.
And then I started hearing more about it, and I think, you know, one of these days I'm going to call Art. I'm going to do it. Sure, here enough, I get in the first call.
This was the second call. This was your night then. Scratches. Wonder what that could be. Not to say for sure that it's a ghost, but human scratches on the body just suddenly appearing, barely felt when they occur, but then. Turning up as big welts. East of the Rockies, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there. You're on a cell phone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So that means your story has to be extra good.
It is very good.
All right, go ahead.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're right on the air, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is why I believe in ghosts. For 10 years, I was stationed at F.E. Warren, Air Force Base, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Yes, sir.
I was a security policeman, and we did maintenance. We did security for all the missiles that were in the missile field.
Mm-hmm.
There were thousands of people that have been through this Air Force Base, and all of them, I bet, can repeat this story. All right. The story goes, one day, a missile maintenance crew was out in the field. While they were working on the missile, a set of arms clamped a man. If you can imagine sticking up your finger in the air and grabbing it with a pair of pliers, that's what these arms are like. Because...
wait a minute. Why would everybody know about this story?
Because this, when I finish, you're going to understand. This is
all
a
right.
Very famous story.
Okay.
But I've never heard it repeated. So... this missile is held in place by these large clamps because it can take a direct hit from a nuclear missile. So these things are very, very solid.
Right.
So while he was working on the missile, for some reason, this clamp activated and pinched the man almost in half.
Oh, my God.
So very quickly, they made a call back to the base, and as quickly as possible, by helicopter, they flew out a medical crew. The man wasn't doing very well. His blood pressure was beginning to drop. So they asked him, is there anything that we can do for you? Because it doesn't look like that you're going to make it. The man said, yes, I would like to be able to tell my wife one more time that I love her. So they arranged to make a radio call to his wife. And he was able to speak to her one last time. After the phone call was finished, they said, all right, we're going to release this arm from you. The doctor told him, I don't think I'm going to be able to stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be the end. So he said he was ready. They released the arm. And as the doctor said, the man died on the spot.
Right.
The place where he died was... missile silo, kilo 11. All right. As I said, these missile silos can take a direct hit from a nuclear missile. They have a 10-ton concrete door on top of the missile.
All right.
On the outside of the missile, there's nothing but a fence. They don't worry about people getting inside, so all you need is a fence. But there are alarms. There are alarms on top of the ground and below the ground. After this incident happened, almost every night, the alarm underneath the 10-ton door inside the missile, where it was impossible for anyone to go, would go off almost every single night.
Good Lord.
And the men would have to respond.
Sure.
And go out there and check outside the fence, all around, and then they would have to open the hole and go down where the missile was.
So he was still there.
So they say.
Yeah. I really appreciate the story. Thank you. I've heard similar stories. There was I think it was Law and Order, very famous Law and Order series, in which a man, in a similar fashion, was squeezed by a subway train. And they actually got the train stopped, and it hit him about midline, in other words, right across the stomach. And as long as that subway was in place, much as the man just talked about the arms around the missile, the blood flow or the blood pressure in the upper part of the body stayed roughly, kept him alive. But the very moment, of course, they moved the train or changed anything, blood pressure immediately dropped and the man passed away. So what that man just had to say about Kilo 11 was entirely possible. What followed with that alarm going off on a nightly basis is, well, it's why we're here talking about ghosts. Many times spirits appear, and this is a part of life after death that I would love to have solved, because I think it kind of makes us all a little nervous. It sometimes appears as though a spirit, or an echo of a spirit, if you will, remains continually setting off alarms, or, you know, people getting a glimpse of the same thing again and again and again, like a terrible tape loop, like something that wasn't finished. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. How are you? And it's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's good to have you, too, but you're also on a cell phone.
Yeah, I hope the distortion's not too bad for you. It will clear up.
Not too good at the moment, but go ahead and give it a try.
Okay, my name's Herbert. I'm a truck driver.
Yes, sir.
And I was in the military, stationed in Mayport, Florida. Lived on base housing. And we had a baby goat. The wife started hearing it at different times. It would cry. And when I started hearing it, I'm sure you're familiar with footy pajamas.
With what kind of pajamas?
We call them footy pajamas. It's got your feet.
Sure. Okay. I know.
You know, just up the middle.
Yeah.
And I had two small boys, and sometimes at night I would hear the footy pajamas come in there to my room. And right there at my headboard, I think it was one of my sons. And I'd reach out, and either one of them would be there, and I'd get up, go check on them, and they'd be sound asleep. So it was kind of funny at times. It never scared us. And then one night I heard the footy pajamas come in the bed, and all my hair is staying on in right now. And I felt the foot of the bed go down. So I knew it was one of my sons climbing in bed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised up, and the moonlight was coming through the window, and there wasn't nothing there whatsoever. And I couldn't scream. I couldn't holler. I was just terrified. And my wife, she was a real light sleeper. Anytime you touch her, she wakes up to see what's up or what I needed.
Sure.
I started shaking her arm. I almost tossed her out of bed. And just out of the blue, something come over me. I don't know what willed it over me, but I lost all motion, all feeling. I wasn't scared. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't nothing. And something without the feeling of touch just made me lay back down. As soon as I hit my pillow, I was out.
Were you were you paralyzed?
No. I mean, at one point when the feeling came over me, you know, I didn't have no emotion. It was it's hard to describe. It was almost like a void. I had no feelings whatsoever.
Okay, so this was not sleep paralysis of any kind.
Oh no, I was wide awake because I was wide awake running some things in my head because I was going up for advancement exam the next day.
Yes.
And I was wide awake and I was running over these figures in my head so I could do good on my advancement test the next day. So I wasn't even asleep when this happened, but I
got it. All right. Well, listen, we're coming up on a break here. So I appreciate your call and we'll continue with ghost stories. I've got a number that have been sent in to me, and I'll kind of pepper the program with those. But otherwise, we're depending on all of you non-cell phone people to call in. Ghost to ghost AM, actually. Unscreened calls. We're just picking them up as we get them tonight. But we do have some rules. One story per caller. Please, folks, don't use cell phones. The last caller was an example of why I'm making that request. For a story to be good, you got to be able to understand it, right? And please, only, if you will, the very scariest of stories. In fact, if it didn't scare you, it probably won't scare us. Those are the numbers. Love to hear from you, and we will continue in a moment. Dear Art, this is not going to be the scariest story on tonight, but I guarantee every word of it is true. I'm a retired police officer. I've never had a supernatural encounter, seen a UFO, but the following story is the closest I've come to a truly strange experience. Around 1990, at nighttime, a robber held up a small Asian bar, which was tucked into a mostly industrial area of the city. A solo patrol officer happened quickly upon the scene, confronted the robber, who was walking on foot in a nearby alley. The robber turned, smiled, and quickly crouched and reached for his gun in his waistband. In a classic one-on-one Western-style shootout, the type seen on TV but really actually experienced by most police officers, the solo patrolman kept his cool, killed the robber on the spot. I was working that night, was on scene along with several other officers within minutes of the shooting. I eventually left to handle other calls, but a short while thereafter I was dispatched to the hospital that a robber's body was taken to do a follow-up report and secure evidence. I was in the hospital room where the robber is lying dead, shirtless upon a bed. His arms lay flat upon the bed, palms up alongside his legs. There was a hospital attendant in the room with me. I had two plastic bags with which I was going to bag the dead suspect's hands for later GSR tests, stands for gunshot residue, to help determine that he had, in fact, fired a weapon. Well, as I opened the first bag and leaned over him to bag his right hand, the dead man's arm lifted straight up in the air in a perfect 90-degree angle with his elbows still on the bed and his right hand now pointed toward the ceiling. The attendant and I both gasped and stared at each other, and the attendant said something that you can't say on Coast to Coast. Well, that's it, Art. I won't embellish anything. Nothing further happened. Of course, it was a dead man's spasm, right? But it was the only dead man spasm I ever saw, and the timing of it in that I was literally about to reach for the same hand was truly eerie, even for a police officer. I figured he was either trying to cooperate in the end, or else he was going for one last desperate grab for his gun. And he goes on to give me the names of those involved in the city, and I won't relate that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Is this Coast to Coast?
Yes, it is. Ghost to Ghost.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've got a cat story, cat ghost story.
All right.
About a cat that passed away.
Yes, sir.
And basically said goodbye with the motion sensor light of the porch, you know, on the porch. When I was
yes. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And it was crazy because it freaked me out in the beginning that the motion sensor was going off and there was no one around.
But well, sometimes insects can set them off, you know.
Oh, no, this wasn't set that sensitive. Like
okay.
It had to be a person walking by or a car. But I think this was the way of the cat saying goodbye, and I'm okay because it had been hit by a car the day before.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, it could be. Various things appear to us, and I'm not sure if our brain makes the connection. Because it wants to make the connection, because we want to be able to say goodbye. We want to be able to say, I love you, or one last thing. And so sometimes our brain makes that connection. Sometimes, perhaps there is a little more to it. East, make that west of the Rockies. You're on the line. Air, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Candy, and I'm calling from Sacramento.
Yes, Candy.
Well, my story is a pretty scary one. I haven't told many people this throughout my lifetime. I'm 36 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the weather was hot, so it must have been around June or August in the summer months from school. And I was in the sixth grade. And the family was on vacation and at home. I didn't go with them wherever they went to. I can't remember that now. But Grandpa stayed with me, and he was in the living room, and I was coloring on at the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of these old organs in my room. And down the hallway, I could hear this music coming from the organ, and I knew I didn't leave it on, and it didn't play by itself.
Right.
And it was beautiful yet eerie, and I kept coloring, and I thought, well, it's going to end anytime soon, but it kept going, and I kept more curious about it. So when I went down the hallway, there was this chill in the air, and Grandpa had told me a couple of months previously that if I were to experience anything scary, just to call on the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and everything would be all right. And I was getting scareder by the moment. I kept walking up the hallway to my room, and I called on the name of Jesus, but it didn't go away.
Did you get into the room?
I got so close to the doorway that the music was blasting my ears. And what happened was I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to go back and get Grandpa because I thought I could handle this by myself.
And?
Then
I can hear you. I can actually hear the fear in your voice as you're telling this.
I've been listening since 1998 to you and George Norrie, and this is the first time that I've ever been able to get onto the radio to tell my experience.
Okay, so what finally happened? Did it just stop or what?
No, when I turned into the doorway real fast, like, there was this thing that I can't describe to anybody, but I could have drawn pictures of it to...
Okay, we'll try. You're going to have to give it a try. This thing.
Yes.
Non-human thing. I guess if it was human, you wouldn't say thing, would you?
No, it was unearthly. I have no formal description of how to put into words what it looked like, but it was red. And it was glowing.
Oh.
And it must have been a demon that I saw.
Did it have a form, a body, arms, legs, that kind of thing, or any appendages at all?
Yes, and it was using its hand-like fingers on my organ player.
Yes. Yikes.
And it looked straight at me with yellow eyes.
Yellow eyes.
And
red with yellow eyes.
Yeah, it was the most unbelievable, undescribable being. And I'm shaking right now, but
I can hear it.
It challenged me at the age of 6 years old. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone, I command you. And it lifted its head up like it had never been told this before and just vanished.
Whew. All right, well, that's some story. That's some story, and those are some words from a six-year-old. I really appreciate your call.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for making it, and take care. Yellow eyes, huh? Listen, I've got a picture up on the website you might want to see. I'm pretty picky when it comes to so-called ghost photographs. I don't latch on to just any, but this was sent to me by Robert. It arrived about a week and a half ago or so. It's obviously taken in an ICU room in a hospital in Colorado. And it was just a nurse testing a new camera, you know, testing the flash in a new camera. Nobody else in the room, and yet if you look in the mirror, you will clearly see somebody dressed in what appears to be perhaps a uniform, sort of half there and half gone. It looks like an old uniform to me. Looks like whoever this is has been around for some time. And this has to be one of the best ghost photographs I think I've ever seen, so you might want to go take a look at that. Again, from a Colorado ICU room. And Robert, I want to thank you for sending that along. It's really a good one. I can usually pick apart a ghost photograph and say, well, it's this or it's that. But if you look carefully at the mirror, the objects reflected and all the rest of it, there's nothing at all bogus about this one. On the wildcard line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art.
Hello there.
This is Lee from Phoenix.
Yes, Lee.
I got a ghost story for you.
Good one?
Well, you be the judge. When I was a kid, in freshman in high school, and got to run around with other kids on Friday and Saturday nights, dragging the main and stuff, one of the guys, older guys, says, you know, have you guys been out to the cemetery? He says, the damnedest thing. He says, we was out there a couple of weeks ago with our girlfriends, because sometimes they'd go out there and they'd find a place and they'd park and make out with her girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we got out and he says, we went up to, and he said, well, there was this one grave that had this enormous upright headstone that was taller than we were. And the girl said to us, I didn't know we were by this one. She says, listen, go back to the car. He says, well, why? He says, because it's haunted. He says, what do you mean? She says, if you stay, there's an old man buried there. And he says, if you walk up and you stand at the foot on the stroke of midnight and say, hey, old man, what are you doing there? He'll answer you back and he'll say, nothing at all. Anyway, we said to our friend, no, we'd never heard about it. So he drove us out there. It was about four of us. We were just kind of really nervous. And we did. We walked up, stroke of midnight, and stood like he said. And sure as heck, the old man answered back and he said, nothing at all.
And you heard that clearly.
Don't you get it, Art?
Yes, I do. Nothing at all.
Thank you, Art.
You're welcome. That's fairly normal in the world of spirits. A repetitive this and repetitive that. You know, I don't think any one of us want to think that that we just sort of hang around in the place where our body is returning to the earth slowly, year by year, and do the same thing over and over again. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi, this is Bill from Southern California.
Hi, Bill.
I got a ghost story for you.
Fire away.
It deals with Native American burials.
Okay.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm an archaeologist. I don't have a PhD, but I do have a master's. And I was working on a survey crew, and we found an area that had a lot of broken pottery and whatnot. And we flagged it, and we went on, came back to it a couple of days later, started excavating, and equipment failure, like you would not believe. Laptops would go dead. You come out of an area, they come back on. You go back in, they go back off. Oh. Generators the same way for lights and stuff. It was just a crazy, crazy deal.
In other words, something was taking all the energy, at least temporarily, from whatever you brought in that had it.
Yes, sir, it was.
Right.
And our little base camp that we had set up. We had a cook and everything. The first night there, our equipment of personal equipment we found in trees and scattered all over the place, so we thought it might have been animals or something.
Mm-hmm.
Second night, the cook, he came out the next morning. He was mad because everything, well, around the camp cook area was just scattered all over the place. When we started excavating, we started finding human remains. Well, that brought the Native American in to monitor this area. And this was going on for like almost a week. Finally, we got a hold of one of the elders, and
usually archaeologists or anybody else are prohibited from digging in areas of that kind, aren't they?
It depends on what they're going to do. If they're going to put a freeway through, or if they're digging it like a pipeline, you know, they got to remove the remains, or they try to reroute it.
Right.
That kind of thing. Well, where we were at, it was going right through the center of the valley, and they couldn't reroute the area.
Got it.
For fiber optics.
Okay, so how did it resolve?
Say again?
How did it end?
Oh, how did it end?
Yes.
Well, the elder got a hold of a spiritualist, not a shaman, but a spiritualist, and he told us if we wanted to come and go into a sweat lodge, we could sweat out and do some incantations that he had done. And then once we'd done that, he gave us each a piece of ribbon or colored cloth, and he told us to carry one piece with us and tie one piece onto our tents.
Mm-hmm.
Those that went, nothing happened. Those that didn't, everything happened over again.
In other words, things scattered, things going off, got it. Well, once again, I don't think I would go digging in such an area. And usually, as I mentioned, once you begin discovering a Native American artifact, they stop you from digging almost immediately, and for a very good reason. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. I just wanted to fill you in on a story that I was lucky enough to experience myself. My name's Chris. I live in Virginia.
Yes, Chris.
When I was a child, I was staying over at my aunt's house, who had a furnished basement. It was middle of the night, about 2 in the morning. I hadn't slept yet, and I made sure to double-check and make sure I hadn't slept in this situation. Excuse me. Anyway, while I was sitting there attempting to go to sleep, a lady appeared. You have to understand that the area that I was at also used to be a battlefield for the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady appears in a beautiful gown, and a gentleman came up to her. These were full-bodied apparitions, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Completely visible.
Almost solid.
Almost solid. All right.
Yeah. I mean, they were very close to it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he was wearing a blue uniform, so obviously I think we have an idea of what side he was on.
Yes.
And they embraced, and they were seemed to be having a romantic interlude, I'd have to call it.
Wow.
All of a sudden, a gentleman in gray appeared in a tattered, tattered gray beat-down uniform.
Right.
With bayonet in hand. He ran up on the gentleman in blue and started sticking him.
My God.
Over and over, repeatedly gutting this gentleman with the bayonet. And when I say gutting, I mean intestines hanging off the end of the bayonet kind of guy.
Oh.
It was quite nasty. And then after a few moments of that sticking him, and she's, forgive the term, freaking out,
mm-hmm.
understandably, poof, vanish.
So it's like you, it's kind of like you had a north-south battle of manifest right in front of you on all, apparently, you would guess, over a woman.
That's the best thing I can say, best way I can view it. The gentleman in blue, definitely dead. No question about that.
Was all this just visual, or did you hear things as well?
You could hear little bits and pieces, but not very loud. You know, you could hear, her crying kind of deal, her saying to stop. You could hear a groan here and there. You could hear a stick occasionally.
And so once all this was over, they all just faded away, huh?
It wasn't even a fade away. It was a poof, gone.
Poof, gone. All right. Well, poof, gone is what we have to be right now. This is Ghost to Ghost AM.